What an uplifting way to start this very first podcast of Diversity and Equity Insight. The Hidden Valley Elementary song was performed by the kindergarteners and first graders under the direction of Mr. Santucci. Hello and welcome. I am Anne-Laure Steiner, the contributing editor. I am so happy to have you here to talk about this new universal dyslexia screening pilot with Angie Kastner, our English literacy specialist. This episode has been made with Mrs. Fish's contribution and supervision, and with the technical support of Mr. Donny, who is the webmaster for the Hidden Valley PTO website. Hello, Angie.
Hello.
Thank you for having me in your beautiful room, and I think it's a number 19.
Yes.
Yes, yep. At Hidden Valley. So just to get us started, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm the English language teacher here at Hidden Valley, and I'm also the literacy specialist. I also work at Brookside in the English language, but I also work for the whole school district, working with English learners and assessing for the LPAC. And I've been in the district for about 9 years. And then I'm also, important to this, as part of the MTSS team of coaches and EL teachers and intervention teachers for the whole district.
Okay, and so what is your professional relationship with dyslexia?
Yeah, so as a reading specialist, I see many students who struggle in reading. That's kind of what I do all day. And some, over the years, I can sort of see some have dyslexia, some do not. So I've done a ton of research and learning about dyslexia, what it is, sort of what methods work for struggling readers. And I'm also in a program outside of school, my own school, to become a dyslexia practitioner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Okay, so in just one word, what is your first impression of this universal dyslexia screening pilot?
Yeah, one word, hopeful. Hopeful because I just think that it's something new we're doing, something that we've been working on implementing, and I think there's a big shift in the whole world of education to understand dyslexia. So I think this screener that we're doing, it makes me very hopeful that there will be more changes.
Great. So dyslexia concerns 10 to 15% of the general population, which means that in any classroom of 20 kids, statistically two or three kids are on the dyslexia spectrum. So Angie, how do you define dyslexia?
So dyslexia, I should say in the beginning, presents itself differently in every student. It can be severe, it can be mild, and anything in between. And there's different kinds of dyslexia, but in general, everyone's brains are different and we all learn in different ways. Dyslexia is a specific learning disability that affects learning how we read, spell, and sometimes write. People with dyslexia need to be taught in a certain way to learn how to read and spell. It's not related to intelligence. Very often they have really high IQs, and reading and spelling can just be more challenging to learn, but it also sort of means that they might have gifts in other things. They might be really good at math. They often are. They think differently. They think they're sort of like the outside of the box thinkers. Many people who have dyslexia go on to be, you know, very all like successful architects, engineers. They might be really good at building things and doing math, like I said. So it's just their brain works differently.
And how and when is dyslexia usually diagnosed in a student?
So every year, students undergo assessments by their classroom teacher. If the teacher sees that the student is not making expected progress, the student receives strategic instruction within the classroom. And if the student continues to struggle and the student doesn't meet benchmarks, their teacher refers them to me as the reading specialist for further assessments and most likely more interventions in small group, out in a different room. And I monitor the progress. If the student is not making progress with the proper interventions, then we'll have some meetings with our student study team, along with the parents, and in some cases, the child will then be referred to more comprehensive testing by the special ed team. And that's the resource teacher and the school psychologist. The assessment process will evaluate for dyslexia, or just basically reading disability or learning disability, and see if there are areas of weakness. And it's not a medical diagnosis.
What is new this year regarding dyslexia screening?
Well, first of all, the screening is very exciting because it will help us hopefully catch students early on, because the earlier the better. And this is a universal screener, and we're doing it as a pilot initiative within the MTSS team, which is multi-tiered systems of support. And the screener we're using is called DIBBLES, and that stands for Dynamic Indicator of Basic Early Literacy Skills. And we're also using something called MCLASS, and it helps us compile the data. And so it's a universal screener, and this is looking, anyways, it's a universal screener, and it's given to this year we're doing it in the pilot to all second graders in the district at all elementary schools. And it's the same team giving the screener. So, and then we're really focusing, this year we're focusing on second grade and then hoping to add kinder and first next year. But the earlier the better, and that's the whole point of a screener, is to sort of catch some kids that need intervention or need support early on. The screener that we chose is quick, but it looks at all components of reading. The purpose is not to diagnose dyslexia. So we are calling it a universal dyslexia screener, but it also can just be called a universal screener. It's to identify students who are at risk or struggling in reading. That's the whole point. So it's not diagnosing anyone. It's just sort of to figure out who needs extra support.
Okay, so that is very exciting indeed. So basically, if I understood properly, this year, this screener can help the team, the MTSS team, to identify any second graders with writing and reading difficulties inside the Ross Valley School District, regardless if they have or not dyslexia. So if we consider the universality and the timing of this screener implementation and the information it provides, could we say we are in the presence of, like, I would say, an American with Disability Act type of impact, meaning one measure or several measures initiated for a specific population actually benefit a larger group of people outside this specific group?
Yes, I definitely think those can be related, because the screener is done to everybody, and then we will identify students who need support, whether they have dyslexia or not, and the earlier the treatment, the better. So if they might be identified, get the support they need, and then be at benchmark from there on out. So yeah, I do think it's related.
So one of the criticisms against universal dyslexia screening is that it could potentially over-identify English learners, creating stigma and costing district extra money. The reason is that English learner could not perform the test because they are not fluent in English yet. So what do you think, and what did you observe when evaluating English learners?
Yes, so dyslexia concerns all populations, without distinction of race. And so I understand the concerns, but a screener doesn't diagnose dyslexia. So I think people are resistant to it because they think that all of a sudden all these people will be diagnosed with dyslexia, and that's not the case. It's just identifying students at risk. So if an English learner comes up through the screener as at risk, this is just an indicator that we need to, as the school, as the teachers, we need to have strategic support in reading and spelling for that student. And there are also screeners in Spanish and other languages that we could do to check in their home language. And then we also have some other assessments for English learners called the LPAC, and that we do every year, and it's another set of data to evaluate students.
So basically for the English learner, you will have two data sets, and then you can, you know, compare both of them and really know where the kid is at.
Yes.
And where is really something doing with a disability or trouble reading or writing, or it's just because he's learning English and he doesn't have, you know, the support in English at home.
Yes.
Thank you. So scientific research clearly showed that early identification followed by interventions using structured literacy instruction can significantly improve literacy outcome. Structured literacy is described as a systematic, explicit, multisensory, direct, and sequential instruction. Wow. Really, what does that mean? Could you please give us some example of what it is?
Yeah, so you hear the term structured literacy a lot, and it is kind of a mouthful because it's taking a lot of components of literacy and putting them together. So it's teaching the most important components of literacy. So these include the foundational skills of decoding and spelling and higher level skills of reading comprehension and writing. So for example, I'll give you like a quick example. If you're teaching the sound sh, you know, C-S-H, this is within a scope and sequence of all the sounds to teach. But so if you're specifically teaching that, you would teach it explicitly and using multisensory. You'll say it, you'll hear it, the student will see it, skywrite it, move to spell it, and you would also read words in context, that words that have the sh sound in it, and then all the spelling words are going to focus on the sh sound, and then you repeat this until the student really has mastered it, then you add another sound. So structured literacy is what it sounds. It's very structured. There's a scope and sequence. It's very strategic and lots of repetition. And our another thing related to that is that our human brains are naturally wired to speak, and we're not naturally wired to read and write. So we need to teach explicitly spelling, reading, and writing. And so structured literacy helps do that for our little brains.
Could these approaches be useful for all students in a regular classroom?
Yes, structured literacy is good for everyone, absolutely. And we've already started implementing some in regular classrooms. The approaches or teaching methods used for struggling students, even with dyslexia or other disabilities, research has shown they can be very effective for all students, even non-dyslexic students.
Okay, so once again, we are inside IDA Impact, where something that has been developed for dyslexic kids or for kids who have disabilities or just trouble reading and writing can be actually used for all students and provide actually everybody with another way to learn. Because this is different. This is something new. This is something that, as you said, may involve another part of their brain. And so they can learn differently and maybe better, even if they are not dyslexic or even if they don't have any disability or trouble reading and writing. So I think it's really, really exciting to see how diversity is for everyone to enjoy. School failure. is one of the dyslexia trademarks. And so ultimately, dyslexic kids will be diagnosed during their school years. The when depends on the severity of their condition. And so the hope brought by this screener is that early identification will allow school staff to deliver an early structured literacy-based intervention, lowering the academic gap to close when the student will face an academic block road in the future. So one question that comes to mind is, does Ross Valley School District have the staff and the monetary resources to provide early structured literacy-based interventions to all the students? This is a question that I'm going to ask to Christy, actually. And so she recorded her answer, so we're going to just listen to it.
Great question, Anne-Laure. Yes, there are multiple layers which address reading difficulties, dyslexia as one of them. The first and most important is hiring highly qualified classroom teachers and then providing continued professional development and support so that our teachers have the tools to address student needs no matter what they are. RVSD schools utilize evidence-based curriculum that's been tested over time to support students with varying learning differences and proven to be successful when implemented with fidelity. The literacy curriculum selected works specifically to support students with dyslexia while also supporting all students in general. The teachers in, within the classroom progress monitor to ensure that students are making adequate progress, and if not, they provide intervention. That means lessons that are specific to that student's needs within the classroom. If more intervention is needed because a student isn't making expected progress, we meet with the parents to discuss possible plans of support. One possible plan is working with a reading specialist on their specific challenge, and that's Angie Kastner, Ms. Kastner at our school. We continue to progress monitor and adjust as needed, always including the parent in the process. This is an already funded system in place.
Thank you, Christy. And I would like to follow up on what you said. The redistribution of resources you mentioned, meaning the teachers and the staff, to focus on students who need support at the beginning of their academic journey, when interventions are the most impactful, is an example of equity. Families of students with difficulties reading and writing, based or not on disabilities like dyslexia, won't have to turn to external educational providers. Students will have their educational needs met at their public school, which is the core mission of any public education systems. Hi, so we're back in room 19. Do you have something else to tell us?
Yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, add one more thing. That having a dyslexic student in class is actually very beneficial because they think differently. They're the students that are super creative and thinking outside of the box, and they just add something that maybe other students don't. So it really does add to a diverse classroom.
Thank you so much, Angie, for this great conversation. I learned a lot today and the days before, because we have been working on this for so long, and I'm very excited. I really love learning everything, and I would like to thank you for the good, great, awesome work you're doing here at Hidden Valley and for all the kids. I am, and I'm sure everybody is very grateful to have you here with us. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to learn about a pretty complex topic that it affects so many of our students and people in general. And putting this all together. So thank you.
And I will come back. October 6th is the World Dyslexia Awareness Day. So I'll be back and we're going to talk again about dyslexia and you let us know what's going on.
Yes, all the progress.
Yes. Yeah. So see you then.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you have any questions or concern, please feel free to contact Angie Kastner. Her email address is listed in the box below. And if you want to learn more about dyslexia, please check out our resource page. The link is also listed in the box below. You will find there information about screeners, structured literacy instructions, and the scientific research led at the UCSF Dyslexia Center. You will also find the statutes of laws in California regarding dyslexia screening. As you may know, California is one of the 11 states that do not require a universal dyslexia screening. My email address is also listed in the box below, so if you have comments or feedback, don't be shy. I really want to hear from you, so just send me an email. Also, if you have a subject you would like to learn more about, let me know. Well, that's it for today. See you around campus, and till then, take care. Hey!